was my privilege this past week, this past Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to be in Richmond with the other trustees of the International Mission Board, meeting and learning about what's going on. And it occurred to me somewhere across the middle of that meeting that I believe I am the most important trustee on the International Mission Board. Now, let me tell you why. Because on Wednesday, all of the other trustees got to witness me having lunch with Donnie Barger, who is the AI guru of all of the missionaries that Southern Baptists have all over the world. And I'm his personal friend. I was his pastor for a lot of years. That's not enough. The security people say to me, "Doesn't John Grimes go to your church?" By the way, Dave said hello. So they want to know, "Doesn't John Grimes go to your church?" Because anybody who's had anything to do with any kind of affinity meeting or gathering or whatever, they just know John. And then on my way home, I sat and thought to myself, I'm not sure how I handle this. So I said this morning to Rich, everybody says hello to Rich and Susan. Because so many people said, "You be sure and tell them I said hello." I thought, there's no way I'll keep all of these names in my brain. I'm the most important one because of who I know and not because of who I am. But you know, it's kind of what it's like to be a believer, isn't it? We're important because of who we know, not because of who we are. And that's the way it's supposed to be. This morning, if you made the decision that you wanted to see the most famous portrait in all of history, you would make your way to the airport. And you would take a plane from Birmingham to Atlanta and from Atlanta to Paris, and then you would get off and you would make your way to the Louvre Museum. Once you got inside the Louvre, you would find that line of people that are all gathered together, obviously going in the same direction that you are going. And patiently, you would wait your turn in line until finally you had the opportunity to see it. That lady with the calm demeanor, with that enigmatic smile. Since she was painted in the early 1500s, she has captivated the world. Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. You could stand there, you could look at her, but you couldn't go close to her. And for goodness sakes, it would be impossible for you to touch the Mona Lisa. She is protected by a high-tech, climate-controlled, bulletproof glass display. She is secured by thick steel all around with armor plating in the back. The room itself is secured by both living guards and security cameras. In the case of an emergency, the staff has systems in place that will remove her from harm almost immediately. In other words, you can look, but you can't touch. You can observe, but you can't get close. Keep your distance from the Mona Lisa. She is too priceless, too invaluable for anybody to be allowed to get too close. She just can't be exposed to people. You know, there's something else in the world that's just as infinitely beyond value. It too is absolutely unique. There's nothing like it in all of the world. You can't put a price on its value. But instead of being withheld from human touch, all of us are encouraged. No, we're urged. We're actually commanded to lay hands on it. Every one of us is challenged to handle it frequently, to examine it closely, to be familiar with everything about it. In fact, some of you have access to it this morning, and if we were able to see it, we would find out that you have written and marked and scribbled all over it. Of course, what I'm talking about is the Bible, the Word of God. Infinitely value. For the next month, we're going to be looking together at why the Bible transforms your life. You may think to yourself, wait a minute, I'm a Baptist. We believe in the Bible. I don't need a month's worth of messages. Yes, you do. Because we need to talk about this thing that God has given us that is so incredibly valuable. Think about this. The Bible is the only thing in the world you can touch that comes directly from Almighty God. When I picked this Bible up, and let me encourage you to do this over the next month. This may be just a life-changing experience. Over the next month, while we're looking together at the power of the Bible and what the Bible means in the lives of believers, bring your Bible with you to church. Now, I know that you can say to me, I have my Bible stored on my telephone, and I know you do. And I know that every time I look out on this congregation and I see someone looking at their phone screen, that's what they're doing. They're reading the Bible every single time. And I know you can, but there's something about the tactile, physical experience of laying hands on the Word of God. And think about this. And every time you lay hands on it, you are touching something that comes from God Almighty. This is not what people say about God. This is not what people tell us about how to follow God. This is the Word of God. Every sentence inspired. Every word from the Lord Himself. There is nothing else on earth you can touch that is eternal except the Word of God. You know, the Word of God that stands how long? Forever. The Baptist Faith and Message reminds us it is our only source of truth without any mixture of error. I love that description. Because it is so rich and it is so real. Truth without error. And it's found in your Bible. And so for the next month, we're going to be looking together at those times when God has spoken to His people. At those times when people have discovered the Bible for another time. When it has touched lives and transformed souls and made eternity sure. And this morning, I want to begin by challenging you in a simple way from Hebrews 4:12 to simply do this. Come to the Bible. Come to the Bible. Don't let it be something that you hear about from time to time. Don't let coming to the Bible just be something that happens when you go to Sunday school on Sunday. Don't let the Bible be something that you hear about only when you see its words reflected on the screen on Sunday mornings. Don't let your exposure to the Bible be something that happens only like when you're in part of a group, like our Thursday night college study or our youth gatherings on Wednesdays, or let it be part of who you are on a personal, regular basis. Come to the Bible. Why should I come to the Bible? Well, let me give you several things very clearly, very quickly, that are going to set the stage for all we're going to be doing in the month to come. First of all, I would tell you this. Come to the Bible because the Bible is alive. Hebrews says it is living and active. What would I tell you about the Bible? I would simply tell you this. Don't let it touch you if you don't want to be changed. Because nobody who gets too close to the Word of God will ever be the same. Now, am I saying to you, everybody who reads the Bible, memorizes the Bible, exposes themselves to the Bible, is going to become a believer? No, but I am saying this. If it begins to make its way into your life, you will be a different person. It will point you toward eternal, everlasting truth. It can guide you to salvation that lasts forever. The Bible changes lives because the Bible's not about old words on stale pages. It is a message from God to you. It is alive. The Word of God is living. Be careful about letting the Bible get a hold on you. It might not let you go. It leaps from its pages and into the minds and the hearts of believers. It penetrates your mind and changes your heart. It transforms everything you believe about God, everything you believe about yourself, everything you believe about the world around you. The Bible changes everything. It is alive. And lives are changed when its truth confronts them face to face. And if we had a few moments this morning, I could probably ask if folks around this congregation would like to stand and say, tell me about a time when the Bible spoke so clearly to you that it felt as though those words must have been put in the text that very morning for your very need. Because many of us, have had that experience where God spoke to you clearly through His living Word, because a living thing does exactly that. A living thing continues to make its way. It continues to grow. It continues to penetrate. It continues to transform. It continues to do its work. A living thing is a living thing. It bears fruit and it transforms souls forever. Hebrews says it very clearly. It is alive. Be careful. People who are dead to God have been brought to eternal life through the power of the Bible. Casual Christians have become convicted believers because of the Bible. People who are in times of great need have discovered in the Bible the truth that they desire. Years ago, during the Vietnam War, the most famous of all of the prisons that American prisoners were kept captive in during that war was called the Hanoi Hilton. Maybe you've heard that word before. Maybe you've heard that term. The Hanoi Hilton was a horrific place. And one of the things that was true about the prisoners who were kept there is that they were not allowed to see one another. They were not allowed to talk to one another. They were not allowed to communicate with one another in any way. But you know, prisoners can become very creative, and one of the things they discovered was they could communicate with one another via Morse code that they would tap on the pipes that went through their cells. And as they tapped on the pipes, other prisoners could hear and communicate back with them. One of the things that these prisoners discovered they needed desperately was access to the Word of God, because Bibles were completely prohibited. And this is what they did. They put a Bible together. Some of them had memorized Scripture, and they added that in by Morse code. Some were reminded of verses they had learned when they were children in vacation Bible school, and they added that to the list. And others would remember times when they'd been in real crisis in their life, and they had memorized Scripture, or Scripture had burned itself in their minds, and it was there. And together they put together a Bible that they could use. And on Sunday mornings, they would gather to worship via Morse code on the pipes. And the testimony that the prisoners had when later they were set free was it saved their lives to be able to worship together in the midst of the most horrific of circumstances. They realized how much they needed the living Word. The Bible is the living Word because of what it does in your life. When you read the Bible, it brings you into the Lord's presence. When you read the Bible, it seats you at the feet of Jesus When you read the Bible, it dares you to trust Christ in everything. When you expose yourself to the Word of God, you expose yourself to the living God who's used His living Word to speak to your living soul. Come to the Bible. It is alive. That's not all the Bible says. Hebrews says, it says, come to the Bible because the Word is active. The Word of God is living and active. Skeptics want you to believe that the Bible's nothing more than a bunch of moral stories, a religious book that tells old fables and really can't be taken seriously because, after all, the Bible was written for people that lived a long time ago in a whole different place and a whole different culture, and so it really doesn't have anything to say to you. Don't buy what these people are selling. You can discover the active power of the Word for yourself. Because whatever it touches, it changes. Nothing is left the same when the active power of God speaks through the Bible. It dares to confront your life. Let me tell you what the Bible does. It makes claims. Claims about truth, about sin, about judgment, about the only way to God. You find it. It's right here. It makes promises about forgiveness, about mercy, about hope, about healing, about heaven. They're all here in the Bible. And it demands a reaction. What are you going to do with what God has shown you in His Word? If you've ever read it seriously, you cannot be neutral about the Bible. You either believe it or you don't. You either trust it or you won't. You follow it or you fall behind. If you ever want to see God's Word doing active work, this is what you do. If you're sitting listening and you're thinking, you know what? It just doesn't say that much to me. It doesn't mean that much to me. I'm not sure I can buy this active stuff. This is what I would tell you to do. Go to your Bible. Open it up to the book of John. Find yourself in the book of Acts. Look at yourself in the book of Exodus. Open your Bible, and this is what you do. Pray and say this: Lord, if you show me what to do, I will do it. Then read and wait for Him to speak. Because I can say with total assurance, God will speak to your life. Lord, if you show me, I'll do it. If you teach me, I'll believe it. If you call me, I will follow. I will guarantee you, you will discover there is an active Bible that contains the active Word of a loving God and a living Savior who wants to change your life forever. But that's not all. Hebrews also tells us this: come to the Bible because the Word exposes. Hebrews says it is sharper than a sword, and it is intended to do spiritual surgery on you. It is sharp, it is specific, and it is effective. The Bible will cut you so that it can heal you. The Bible will reveal you just the way you are, warts and all. It will expose the places you've fallen short and the places that you've compromised in your life and the times you've chosen sin over righteousness. It will show it all, and God will do surgery on your life. It exposes sin. It reveals what you're trying so hard to hide. It will break your heart. It will tear away your mask. The Bible will cut away what has broken you so that you can have a chance to become what He's planned for you to be. It cuts. And sometimes it hurts. And sometimes you'll wish that you could run away. And sometimes you'll wish there was a way to avoid this truth. But it cuts. And it hurts sometimes. When you open yourself to the Bible, you discover nothing is hidden from the Lord. Not a word, not an action, not a thought, not an intention. Nothing. What am I saying? There is no place for arrogance before the Word of God. It exposes. And when it exposes things, it creates a reaction. That reaction may be yes, that reaction may be no, but there's going to be a reaction when God's Word begins to speak into people's lives. It's been 3 weeks since Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Over these past 3 weeks, I've been watching something very interesting take place. You see, in the first week or so, those people who rejected him and opposed him and turned away from him generally did so on the basis of, I don't like his politics. I don't like positions he held. And you can say yes or no, I agree or I disagree. But then something interesting began to happen. The opposition became more about his faith than about his policies. Have you noticed that? I don't like that guy because he quoted the Bible. I don't like that guy because he said Jesus is the only way. I don't like that guy because he stands for the truth of Scripture. I don't like that stuff. What's going on? The Bible creates reaction. It cuts and it hurts. And you respond one way or the other. And then finally, Hebrews says this. The word gets to the point. It goes straight to the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is what I would say. You read the word, and then the word reads you. You read the word, and then God begins to speak to your soul. This is what I would tell you. If you don't want to be exposed, stay away from the Bible. Don't touch it. It's dangerous. If you don't want to be exposed, one of the things you probably need to do is go home after church and don't do any of that stuff I said about bring it with you to church. You set it down on the table and you leave it there and you don't touch it because that's a dangerous book. It will change your life. It will change the world. That's what happened with Martin Luther. He read the Bible and it changed Christian history. It's an interesting thing. Several years ago, in one of his books, Charles Colson described a time when he participated in a televised debate with Madeline Murray O'Hare. Now, for you younger folks, let me tell you who she was. She was the most famous atheist in the world. She was an aggressive atheist. She was one of those people who would say, I will debate anybody about anything, anywhere, about that word and about the whole idea of Christian faith. Charles Colson was a man who had once been deeply involved in the political world and went to prison because he took too many illegal shortcuts. And in prison, he found a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were participating together in a televised debate, and it went back and forth, and she was really a master at the idea of, I will interrupt you, I will contradict you, I will be rude to you, I will do anything I can to distract you. And through it all, she took that kind of angry offensive. She misquoted Scripture. She interrupted him constantly. She tried to get him to lose his composure. And finally, she said this, I can't accept the Bible. The Bible teaches you to kill people. And at that point, Mr. Colson took his Bible out and he said, "Wait a minute. You tell me you know what's in this book. I want you to find that for me in this Bible. Show me where the Bible says that." And this is what happened. She recoiled from him. She refused to look at what was in his hand. Later, after the TV cameras were turned off and the debate was over, he went to her again and said, "I really would like you to show me what you're declaring in the Bible." And she absolutely refused to touch it. He made this observation. If she was determined to remain an atheist, she was correct not to draw too close, for that holy sword might have pierced her heart. Here's the thing. Both of these people died 20 years ago or more. And I can tell you this morning, both of them at this point know every word of that scripture is true. For one, it was an absolute affirmation of faith. For the other, it was too late. Too late to trust. You see, the living word has only one mission, and it is to change lives for all of eternity by bringing people face to face with Jesus and the necessity to trust him. It is in the Bible that Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." That's in God's word. That's Jesus' word. Most of all, it is eternal, personal, absolute truth. And this morning you may be here and you're not a believer. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You may never have sat down and seriously read the Bible, looking for truth that you desperately need. But I can tell you this, if you're here and you're not a believer, what Jesus said to his disciples so long ago, "No man comes to the Father except by me," is as true today as it was when he spoke those words in the upper room. And you don't need to leave today without a personal faith and a personal Savior. You don't need to leave today without knowing you have an eternal hope that comes from the fact that you have invited Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord. You don't need to leave today until you have settled that issue in your life. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you're looking for a relationship with Christ, if you'll just come to me, I'll be glad to introduce you to the Savior. But if you're here today and you know this is a need in your life, but you're not quite sure you're ready to come up here, you find somebody on our church staff and you grab them after the service and you say, "I want to know about becoming a Christian." They will be glad to talk to you. Maybe you're here today and you're recognizing, you know what? If I'm really going to build myself on the Word of God, I need to be part of a church where the Word of God is honored. And I think that's First Baptist. And I want to put my membership in this place. Maybe God's speaking to you about something very specific in your life. And you just need to come and say, "Yes. I said to the Lord, if you'll show me what to do, I'll do it. And this is what he's told me to do." Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. If you need to come, you come. Let's stand again. been good to be together in God's house today. Let me remind you a couple of things. Deacons, remember we've got our regular scheduled meeting, active deacons meeting today. We postponed that for a couple of weeks, and so we'll be doing that. We won't be doing a deacon study tonight because we've got a couple of other things going on. Our group that's been involved in the parenting class, this is going to be the final meeting of that. We want you to be part of that. We want to wrap up the footsteps of Jesus in the Holy Land study this evening, so the rest of us will be there for that. Our youth and children will be meeting. So we'll do deacon's meeting, then we'll be going to our regular classes. And then next week, we'll begin Andy Under the Stars, one of my favorite months of the year. And we're looking forward to doing that together. Glad you were here today. Let's bow together for a final prayer. And then one last song as we dismiss. Father, we do thank you for the living Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the source we have of absolute truth in our lives. Help us, Lord, to read it, believe it, and allow it to change us forever. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.